are back and stronger than ever. But that being said, I have put on a couple pounds, and so I'm okay with it just showing our shoulders. But we are back for our date morning live that we used to do typically on Saturdays. And we know that today is Sunday, and that we're back. And we're back because so many people were like, when are you doing your morning date lives? I used to love to watch them. This is the next one. I've had tons and tons of people ask me about them. And to be honest, like, me and Chris have just been consumed by life. Like, we're not trying to even remotely say that we haven't figured out at all. But my gosh, I don't know, did you look it up? When's the last time we...
The only one I could find on your page was August 3rd, 2024.
August. Maybe we've done one since, but we were super consistent doing them every Saturday. And then, like, life happens. We have kids. We have young kids. We have a senior. We have a 7-year-old. Yeah. We have businesses that we're doing stuff and we're trying to like change the world. And we have employees and we have families and we have our relationship. And it's kind of like just like, and then I traveled. Actually, that's a great point.
That was going to be my next point.
Yeah. How long was I gone for?
I swear it was like 2 months.
No, it wasn't 2 months. You're gone. I was gone for, I'm just trying to share this on my profile. I was gone for 30 days straight. I was gone. I left. It was something like, so we were home for Thanksgiving. I left October 14 and I came back November 14. So I was gone for like 30, 31 days straight away from my bed, my home. Now I saw Chris and Yaya one time in between, but I was gone from Austin, who's our senior, for 30 days straight. And I was exhausted. I'm not going to lie. I was exhausted. And then I had to deal with a coach that I had hired, right? That totally was trying to manipulate me during that time. And it was just trying to deal with that. And it was just overwhelming and it was consuming the travel. Travel's fun, but my God, is travel disruptive to your company, to your life, to your family?
Especially when the travel is not on your terms.
Yeah.
Because in the mix of that month period, you had to deal with a death in the family.
Yeah, I had to deal with a death in the family. So I wasn't supposed to be gone for as long initially. In between the week I was supposed to have off to come home, my cousin, who I had grown up with, and like I haven't shared this publicly, even with my own family, but my cousin, her name was Tracy. She was the one who taught me. As a kid, I grew up, so she was older than me, but, you know, we grew up in a very tight-knit family. It was a family business. And, you know, we traveled. And when we weren't traveling and I had to go to school, my parents would leave me with my Aunt Barbara. And my Aunt Barbara's kids were my cousin, Kristen and Tracy. So Tracy was my cousin who was, you know, taken from us extremely early in life. And, but she was the one who taught me how to wear, guys. I learned that from her. Like she wore different hats, but you never saw my cousin Tracy without a hat. She's the one who taught me how to carry yourself with so much grace and also a level of like privacy and confidence. And yeah. And so during that month, I went home. I didn't have to go home. I chose to go home. And spend it with my mom and my dad and my cousins and my Aunt Barbara and just kind of be there. And I was grateful for that opportunity. So yeah, like the last few months have been crazy personally for my family, crazy with a senior in high school who is like trying to be a grown up, and he's doing a phenomenal job at being a grown up, by the way.
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, we have Yaya who's 7, who is just trying to be a kid. And then not to mention, we franchised Organize It.
Totally forgot about that.
We franchised Organize It. That was a lot of work. I did that for the last 6 months of the year. I think I started in April or June with the franchise, like learning and getting help and building that team. And then we launched the book in September, One Layer Deep. I should have the book here, One Layer Deep. And it's just been like a roller coaster. And then we launched Leia, right? 1LDAI, Leia. Well, wait, let me go back. Then we bought a building.
Yeah.
I bought a building in June or April or June. Uh-huh. I don't know. But we spent all summer demoing. Literally. No, like, you should have saw my fingernails last week. Even though we bought it, we were demoing it all summer. Last week, I spent 48 hours probably vacuuming the building. The outside of the building, too. Guys, this is now, you know, I'm a true cleaning person. I was vacuuming the leaves outside with a shop vac out of the basement drains because it has a basement and there's the drains that go mm-hmm. And I was, me and Chris were vacuuming the leaves with a shop vac.
I was holding the shop vac up because of the way that the power we had running, some power we didn't have turned on.
Well, I have pictures. I should post them. I didn't post the pictures.
Yeah.
But like I spent like probably 2 straight days vacuuming and vacuuming and vacuuming and blowing and cleaning up the building. So yeah, we bought a building and we're remodeling the building. And then, yeah, the book came out and then we launched Leia. It is going to change the way you do business. We are so excited about Leia and 1LD AI. So if you read my book, One Layer Deep, as I was writing that book, AI was just becoming more and more prominent. And we're like, how do we help people achieve one layer deep? By using technology and AI. And that's where like Leia, who is our AI agent, who will be your COO.
Your AI COO.
Your AI, your service business COO, which is phenomenal. So we're so excited and what we have lined up for the future of the small business. Because if you didn't see my teach about the death of the linear company, right? The death of the linear company, that's every small business. Linear means one for one. Like if I want to grow, I need more people. And if I need more people, I need more management. And how AI is going to change the way the service industry runs. It's going to change every business model we've ever seen, ever, anywhere. And so we launched Leia and we're super excited for that. But yeah, we've been busy and we've learned a lot about ourselves.
Yeah. So I want to make one note. I want to go back real quick.
And if you have questions, hey, I see Kate on here. I see people on here. We have some people live. Drop your questions in the chat. If you have questions, we're more than happy to answer them.
Yeah.
Hold up your cup. And so this is for Sharon Timberg. We are still using our cup, Sharon. And every time we drink out of them, I have to chuckle and I think about you, right? I'm always right and he's wrong. On his birthday, Sharon. Sharon, if anybody knows Sharon, you can tag her in this. If anybody knows Sharon, on his birthday, I'll let him be right. She asked me, did I let you be right on your birthday?
That's awesome. Yeah. Sharon, you hilarious woman. She's always fun to hang around. No, but I wanted to go back because you talked about the series of events, unfortunate or whatever.
Series of unfortunate events is a great.
No, yeah. But the time when we bought the building, we did the renovations, happened before this chunk of time, this month-long thing that you were gone for.
Yeah.
And it was just you that was gone, not necessarily me, the kids. But we went out, Oklahoma, building, full-on, like, tear-out renovation. But we still managed to find time to do a date morning.
Yeah.
At that time. I just wanted to make that point. And this is why I said, I think it's because it's travel on our terms. Meaning that this happened, the renovation, everything was on our terms. The month that you were gone, it started off on your terms. But then things started to kind of turn with just some other events. And then having to kind of like juggle or shuffle around. Some of it was amazing. Some of it was a little more difficult, but I think sometimes you just have to shift focus. And I know that we had talked and we'd promised ourselves when it came to the date mornings and then when it came to actually sharing. And the idea of the Saturday date mornings is that we share fully transparently, openly about real stuff. And what we didn't want to do was to make this be some stale thing.
Yeah.
That was just emotion to push out like a podcast or whatever.
We always promised ourselves that when we went live with you guys that we weren't forcing it. It wasn't like a show. And so for a while I told Chris, I'm like, I just don't feel like doing them. Like I don't feel up to it. I don't feel like doing them from the travel and everything that was going on, like personally, professionally. I just didn't feel up to it. And so I just said, I don't want to do them right now. Because then if I did them, they would feel fake. They would feel forced. They would feel like a show. And that's not what our date mornings that we want to bring you are.
Yeah.
And so you have a great point. I remember that. And just saying, I don't want to do them right now. I need to take a break. And I think acknowledging, so there's a really great book. And I am proud to say one of my goals was not reading another book in 2025. It wasn't. I did not read one book in 2025. And here's why though. When you write a book, you have to read your own book 500 times. Effing times. So I was reading my own book. And then when you launch a franchise, you have to read I had to get everything so lined up, like the owner's manual, the FDD, like it's very regulated. It's very there's so many legal documents and I had to get everything lined up. And luckily, like I had a team that built everything for me and I had to read all the time. I would tell Chris, I'm like, oh my God, I have to read another 126 page document. like, oh my gosh, I have to read another policy. Like, and I was just so tired of reading. So I said in 2026, I didn't want to read a book. And I didn't read a book until like what? Like the last 2 weeks of December. I did pick up a book and I didn't open it from start to finish. I only opened it and went to the exact chapter of what I needed because I knew what I needed because I had read the book.
I was going to say.
I'd read the book prior. But that was just because I knew where I was at in my business and I knew that capacity. Yeah, I hadn't read a book all year. I don't even remember where we were going. What was the topic?
Well, I think it was just what we were learning about, but really it was about traveling on our terms.
Oh yeah. And it was funny because I didn't read a book, but now I'm going to recommend you guys a book. That's where I was going. And it's called The Power of Full Engagement. Jonathan Potashnick, who was the owner of Service Autopilot, one of my mentors I had, recommended this book years ago. And it's such a powerful book because it teaches you about burnout. And they call it the CEO athlete. Even though we're not corporate CEOs, we're all still CEOs of our business and even CEOs of your life. And it teaches you about burnout. And so, like, me and Chris have acknowledged we're in burnout right now, or we were in burnout and we're still kind of in it, but we've set the date to stop. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, are you in burnout right now? And are you in burnout? Are you tired? Do you just don't feel like yourself? Do you not have, we did vision boards with our staff and our companies on Friday. And one of our employees said, you know, I used to love to draw and I used to love to create. And she goes, I just don't feel it anymore. That's burnout. Even if you're not an owner, that's burnout. And acknowledging burnout is real. And the book is amazing because it teaches you to acknowledge burnout, but also the power of pushing through burnout to a certain point, but then you gotta stop. And that's where everyone misses the mark. They know they're in burnout. I mean, I know when I'm in burnout. I've been in that business where you're like eating in the car and you're miserable and you have apathy for your own company. But back in the past, I didn't acknowledge that was burnout. I just thought that was business. That's the way it was supposed to be. And now you know when you're in burnout and you acknowledge it and you say, okay, how much longer can we push through this? Because if we keep going this way, this is the thing, you're completely inefficient.
Yeah, a lot to say about that. What I was going to say is when you say burnout and recognizing it, I really do think that there's different types, and one is intentional.
Yes.
Because what I've learned from studying some of the greatest minds out there, you know, there's different thoughts. Greatest, like what I've seen in terms of execution from Elon Musk, which is really scary on how you imagine how old he is. He's my age, I think, if not a
That's
little bit
not very
older.
old.
Either way, but a bit older.
I have no idea. Keep going.
But he put rockets in the sky. But you think about it, and you study these people, and when it ended
Auto
up,
corrected to Elton John.
not Elton John, another genius though. But you look at what they've
54 years old.
54. Okay.
King. He doesn't look bad for 54 years old. He's older than I am.
But you look at what these people have achieved, and after studying and learning about it, and the fact that he spent weeks at a time in the middle of the warehouse floor sleeping for 2 to 4 hours a day to wake up, probably not even take a shower,
Believe he probably didn't take
to get back to work. I learned and understand that sometimes there's intentional, I say burnout, but really it's intentional delirium, because in states of delirium comes your greatest work.
I 100% believe that.
But it's being intentional that determines if you're in that position or if it's just true, if it's just purely burnout
You're in the
because
day-to-day
of,
because
it's the
of.
reactive, it's the because of.
Yeah, if you're just in burnout from the day-to-day, you're not gonna. That's not intentional burnout. It's like if there's a goal, a project, a passion, a mission, intentional burnout, that state of delirium. I will give you guys an example. You know, there's some things that we're doing and we're making some shifts and repositioning. Yesterday, literally yesterday, I had one of the biggest breakthroughs that I've ever had. So I'm creating the 1LD OS system, marketing system for the small business. And I created the first version and I was like, this does not feel right. It makes sense to me, but I'm not everybody else in the world. I'm like, this just doesn't feel right. It just feels like I'm dumping more shit on the small business owner, unorganized, just more chaos, more learning. And that's not what the small business owner needs. And so I was like, how can I remake this? How can I re and I'm total delirium. Like we've been working 12 hours a day, nonstop.
And our date morning walks talk about us saying, look, we acknowledge and we know that we are
We know
100% in burnout.
Yeah. And I had the breakthrough yesterday. I was like, my God, here it is. So I'm remaking my entire One Layer Deep operating system. I'm remaking it because I was like, it came through after sitting 3 or 4 straight hours in front of the computer trying to figure out how do I make this make sense for other people besides me.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have come to if there wasn't intentional space that was created around that burnout or around that delirium, around that. It's like in the zone, it's you're beyond tired, but you're just going to sit there and you're going to do it because there's something there.
Yeah.
You just have to hit it.
You do. And you're excited to get up, but then you got to acknowledge burnout. Cause I told Chris, if we keep going this way, I'm going to become inefficient. Almost to the point of inefficiency. And so we've acknowledged it and, I've already have things planned. So my suggestion to you, if you're tired, like if you're in burnout, it doesn't matter if you're a business owner, an employee, a mom, like how many moms out there are just tired? I mean, I have to say we're finally to a point where yes, and she's somewhat self-sufficient, but like those moms out there that still have small children, that's like still have kids in school and it's still soccer practice and still like it's burnout. It doesn't matter if it's business. It's just overwhelm, right, by life. If you're feeling that, my best suggestion right now is to take a walk. I'm posting every day in Facebook. And then also you can join my private community as well. We'll drop the link. It's for anybody who wants to join. It's mainly business owners. But if you just want to join and you're interested in opening your own business one day, jump in because you can learn. I give a ton of help and resources and it's not cleaning specific. It could be anybody who just wants to own a business. I've owned bars, restaurants. I've been a 1099, so I've been subcontracted for a majority of my life. I've owned window cleaning. I've owned power washing businesses. We own a cleaning business. I started as an organizer, and now I own 3 software businesses. So it is not cleaning specific, but join our community. And if you want to learn, or if you just want to join us on a walk. So every day we're walking. I'm posting a picture. I'm doing it online as well on Facebook. Yeah. But that's my number one suggestion is, and I know it's cold, guys, because we were in Oklahoma and in the mountains skiing.
I dislocated my shoulder.
For a while, you know, it was cold and we suffered through those morning walks.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like morning air or evening air or sunsets or sunrises. Even if you just take 5 minutes and take a walk, that's my first suggestion to just relieve the pressure. How many of you guys right now, I just want you to put like and even if you're watching the replay, there's so much anxiety and chaos and burnout. You can feel the pressure in your chest.
It becomes hard to breathe.
You can feel the pressure in your chest. That was me like over the last probably month or two. You can feel the pressure in your chest, but it's okay to have that feeling. And that's, you're never going to have it go away completely when you're faced with difficult situations or even growth. I have 100% have been there and was there and kind of am still there. And take a walk. Every day walking is my therapy to help me. And then I listen to a lot of music. I listen to a ton of music. At some point we have stopped listening to podcasts. Don't stop listening to my podcast, but no. And just enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment and stop consuming information for a minute. And that's what walking helps us do. That's what music helps us do. You know, I asked Chris, we're in burnout. Like, we're not going to lie. We're tired and we're exhausted. And I said, can you make it one more week? Can you make it just one more week?
If I know the date is coming, then yes.
Because what are we doing in a week?
Oh, we're going to Mexico. Actually, we're going to Riviera Maya to check off the bucket list and see Dave and Tim live.
Yeah.
Riviera Maya.
So it's the Dave and Tim live. If you guys are a Dave Matthews fan, you know, like this is epic, iconic. It was extremely expensive, more than I would like to have paid, but it was on my bucket list for years. You kind of get to a point where like, you know what? You don't care. Just put it on the credit card. And then after that, we're going to see 2 very good cleaning friends in Tulum, Mexico. We're going to spend the day, maybe 2 days, day and a half. With Debbie and Eric Ems in Tulum.
Yeah. I always think of Tulum as the jungle of Mexico.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So we're excited because we were just going to spend the extra 2 days like in Playa del Carmen doing our usual thing. And then when we posted we were going to Mexico, they were like, oh my gosh. We're like, let's get together. I'm like, yes, because it's going to make me explore new areas. And I'm excited to ride the new train there, down there in Mexico.
Yeah.
It wasn't ready when we were there last year.
Because it's what? Tren Maya is the name of it. Yeah. No, but back to what you were saying, going for a walk, there's something, it's, I think the acronym is SAD, S-A-D. It's seasonal affective disorder.
And I was just reading that in 1440.
Yeah. And so seasonal affective disorder is a real thing, and it comes about, and everybody probably knows it and feels it with the cold months, the winter. It's the gloominess of it. It's the lack of the sunshine because it's so cold out, especially in the northern areas. And you start to get into this slump, this depression, this, again, it's this seasonal affective disorder. It's like anxiety builds and stress builds. And they say a large part of it, women get hit with it the most, I think, because usually it's the nurturing aspect of having to deal with kids or family lifestyle. But like you said, is there has to be an intentional moment. And I know I spoke with somebody about this, a business owner, about this before as well, is that no matter what, you have to find a way to stop working. If you're constantly feeling like you're, everybody depends on you, and you have your phone and you're like, I can't look away. I set a rule in place.
Yeah.
I set a rule in place with that. And one is I don't have the ringer on. And the second thing is when I'm working, and this depends on your case, but I always put my phone face down on the table. The reason is because I've set the standard, the priority, the precedence, whatever you might call it, that if anything is truly urgent, somebody's going to call you. And it's setting that precedence with people is like, yeah, text or Facebook notifications or whatever it might be are not important. So face down means that I'm not going to get this distraction of the screen lighting up. If it's important, my phone will vibrate.
Yeah, it's almost like when you go gambling. Well, I don't gamble, right? But it's like the slot machines, like the lights and the sound and the music and the notification. Like that's our cell phones right now. I love that topic, Chris. And that's one of the reasons why we've chosen to take our one layer deep community that I have on Facebook, to take it off of Facebook. Because like, man, I don't know about you guys. And it has a lot to do with where I'm at right now in life and the people I'm having to deal with, and, you know, with the tragedy that happened to my family, but also just like the news. And we're on social media right now streaming.
Yeah.
But I told like my mom and my sister, I said, I feel like the world is just completely lost its mind right now. And it feels unfair sometimes.
Yeah.
Like it feels so biased or one-sided, and you don't know who you're following and what you're watching and what you're doing. And for a business owner, or for anybody, it doesn't even matter if you're a business owner, just for anybody, it can be, doom scrolling is a real thing. Like you can get so distracted.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be so negative. You're just like, oh my God, can I get the world has lost its mind right now.
Yeah.
I just don't even, we use social media to connect like with our friends and stay involved. But it's also one reason why I love taking, especially right now, taking like our one layer deep community off of Facebook. And it's open for anyone who wants to join, business owners, whether you're like pest control, lawn care.
Maybe talk about bakeries.
Just the small business owner who is struggling. You guys are welcome to join. And it's crazy because it literally, it's for that business owner person, it is such a distraction right now. It is so negative. And like, we have to protect ourselves. I'm going to go back to another book. Mm-hmm. And I didn't read it this year. I didn't read it in 2025. It's called the EPT. It's the entrepreneur personality type. You know, we all have some sort of sparkly thing we're all really amazing at. But then we also have major things that irritate us. Mm-hmm. We have major irritability issues. And they say that entrepreneurs operate on a spectrum, right? And that's why you may find yourself sensitive to sound. Maybe if you've gone to a conference and the lights give you a headache, or you feel like you got to get out of the room, that's your special sparkly brain telling you that you're different. And that's okay. But that book is phenomenal. It's a little tiny, yeah, little booklet.
Pay for shipping.
You just pay for shipping. He wrote the Millionaire Code. And so it's like the code of the stages of a millionaire or a billionaire. I'm sorry, a billionaire. And he's phenomenal. His name is Michael Sherifan. Dan Martell introduced us to him. And it's like when you acknowledge the things that set you off or even the things that burn you out, man, can you just control that overwhelm, that feeling? You also know the things that ground you. You know, one of our good friends, I love him to death. He messaged me the other day. He's like, Libby, please help me. He's like, I'm ready to just close it down. And I said, just stop. It's Thursday. It's New Year's Day. Don't even go to work on Friday. It's one day going to do. Nothing's going to burn down.
Yeah.
If your employees show up, great. If they don't, who cares? Just take the next 4 days and just do nothing. just do nothing. Just take a walk, put your jacket on, go outside, because he lives in a cold area. Just go outside, just do nothing. Who cares? Like, the shit isn't gonna die on New Year's Day, the day after, and then Saturday and Sunday, you're fine. And he messaged me, and he's like, oh my God, thank you so much. I just needed that. Like, I was just so overwhelmed. But acknowledging, like, what pushes our buttons, right? It's so crazy. That turns into burnout and irritability, or like not working your flame. Like, if you read the book, One Layer Deep, you know, what's your fire? Chris knows mine now, and he protects me at all costs. It's a great book. I highly recommend every entrepreneur grab it. I could drop the link into that.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.
Well,
so this is our intentional reset.
Yeah, and we haven't done this for a long time, and I have people private messaging me. They're like, Libby, when are you doing another, like, when are you guys doing your morning date live? Like, we love it. And we haven't, and I told Chris, I'm like, you know, we haven't done one for a long time. And again, it's life, and it's okay. Here's the thing. It's okay. Like, life got in the way, and it's okay. There's no shame. In my walking little challenge, it's not even a challenge. This is in my walking post, like, drop your picture. So if you look on my profile, every day I'm posting a picture of me walking, sometimes with Chris, sometimes alone. And everybody's like, I want to join, but I don't want to post a picture of myself. Great. Post a picture of your feet, of the road, of the sunrise. Yeah. I don't care. But so many people are like, Libby, I didn't get to do it today, or I didn't get to do it yesterday. And I'm like, guess what? It's okay. Yesterday is gone. The only thing that exists is today. So you can start today. Who cares about what happened yesterday?
The great thing about aphantasia is that you can't remember yesterday.
Yeah, so I can't remember yesterday. So, I mean, I can remember some of yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a whole other
story. So, but that's a great point too. And, you know, it went with, when I spoke with somebody, I learned a lot of things about myself also. But when I spoke with somebody, it was actually an office manager in a company. When I talked about the phone and committing to that time in terms of determining what's important to you and having your phone down in these moments when you have to, like, take something back for yourself. You have to, like, carve out that dedicated time. And it's in the book too. It's protecting your rhythm was the most important thing to do in this case. Is the business was the business, but the most important thing, the thing, what your business really needs right now for that person was, we learned it was actually protecting their personal time, because they would try to go for walks or go for runs throughout the day, but they would get distracted and pulled away. It wasn't a full disconnect. And so what we learned and what we talked about was creating these micro moments. It was actually time blocking to the smallest possible degree to start with, because you have to get used to priming yourself. You have to get used to the rhythms of doing it and stepping away. I think we also talked about in the book, and I think in the bonus chapters, of micro vacations. It's another strategy we have, but those micro moments, I told her 15 minutes, just ask for permission in the office. Just say, hey, by the way, I'm going to be stepping away from X time to X time. And it was small. It's like 15, 30 minutes. You know, can you guys go ahead? If anything pops up, can you please go ahead and just to take care of it? I trust you to do what's right. And then waiting for that confirmation. Okay, fantastic. I'm going to put my phone down. If it's truly urgent, call me. Otherwise, I'll be unavailable.
And I think there's a lot of power in that, Chris. It's the fully unplug. How many of us, and I was so guilty of this, and I still am, I'm not going to lie. You unplug kinda. I don't know if you can spell kinda. You're on vacation, but you're still over here on your phone. You're like, wait, hold on. I got to Zoom. Wait, I got to do this.
And then your eyes still hurt and your brain just aches.
You're kinda unplugged, right? You're kinda off. And I think that's super dangerous though, because I don't know how many times I've been on vacation with the kids, my family, with Chris, and I'm kinda off. I'm kinda unplugged, but you're not. You're not. You're still working. And so you can't get over burnout, and you can't come back stronger if you're like, it's kind of like that. You're halfway in and halfway out, 1 foot in and 1 foot out the door. And that's hard, because when you come back, you can't fully come back rested.
Yeah.
You just kind of come back. And it's one of those things where, like, you, there's a lot of power in saying like, I can fully unplug. And the one thing I want to like just talk through of how I did it in my experience is I did it very, very small, right? I did it because even in my own cleaning company, I am not existent except for weekly meetings. And I'm still in a chat that if they need me, they comment in that Google chat. So I'm not completely non-existent, but I don't handle the day to day. It's like, how did I get there? It's micro moves. It's micro moments. It's like, hey, I'm going to take a 15-minute walk. I won't be available. And the next is like, hey, I'm going to be gone for 30 minutes. And then it's like, hey, I'm going to be gone for the day. Like maybe when our kids are out of school. And then when Austin was a kid, we always left for the summer and I would leave for 2 weeks. And then I would leave for 3 weeks. And then I would leave for 4 weeks. And now like I'm gone for 8 weeks.
I think we did 2 months stretch.
Yeah.
One time.
And then like this summer, I was gone for Woo Recruit for a while and I trust the team and I'm there if they need something, but like we trust you and I'm available. If they call me, I'm available like at a drop of a hat, but it's working up, you know, starting micro, starting little, whether it's, you know, a walk that's 5 minutes or leaving the company for 15 minutes and moving up and those micro increments is what leads to the macro, right? It's a Gary V. It's the micro that leads to the macro saying, because it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just like you all of a sudden have a business that you can be gone for. Right. For 8 weeks, that doesn't happen. It happens through baby steps. And then every time you leave, many of you guys have heard me say this, every time you leave, you come back different.
Yeah.
I want to say that again. Every time you leave, you come back different. How do you do that? Well, I see a whole bunch of cleaning business owners traveling right now. You're gone. Empower your team. But when you come back different. How do I come back different? The way you come back different is you empower them to say, if you could do this for 3 or 4 days, you can do this for a week. I'm going to stay gone and work on the things that were broken. I'm going to work on the gaps that we saw, the systems that didn't work, inefficiencies that we had. So you come back different. So when you come back, you reassess, you don't just jump right back into what you were doing. Then you're never going to get out of it. You're never going to get that. What is it? Time freedom, money freedom, and purpose freedom. I'm reading it. It's on my board over there.
Yeah.
that you like long for. And that even goes for employees. I tell this all the time to our staff, whether it's in software or it's in the cleaning business, when you go on vacation, the department existed without you for a week. And if it can exist without you for a week, and it can exist without you for a week while you're working to improve the department.
Yeah, but very important point.
Right? Like if you can take a week vacation and you're a manager, the department moved without you. Probably, it was probably fine. So that manager, you can take a week and go work on bettering the department without feeling guilty because it works without you.
Yeah, but I want to make sure we make this very clear is that just because you're away, again, back to the intentional time, just because you're away doesn't mean that you're away if you're over here during the conference or during whatever, texting on your phone the entire time or your laptop's open and you see the screen lit up in your face. That's not being away because you're still there solving the problems for the office. Mm-hmm. But I think the very first step for me, I had the biggest problem with this with Woot Recruit a few years ago, is that I had to learn to ask for permission.
Yeah.
I think that was the very first step that I had to learn was no matter what, the only thing I needed to do at that moment was just ask for permission first.
Not for me, guys.
No.
Just want to make that clear.
From the team and say, would it be okay if I stepped away for, what was it, like 3 days to work on bigger things and to help us out? Would you be okay taking care of things? And it was always a resounding, you deserve it. Go on, please do. Get away from us. But it was
not read one layer deep. There's a whole chapter about Chris in the book.
Yeah. But it was this, they rallied together. It actually helped to boost their level of confidence too. Me asking for permission from them to take care of things and me stepping away. That's when I learned that I could start to do this more often. And I actually saw a lot of people grow a lot that would have never gotten the opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, I know I suffered from this, the lack of trust. For the longest time, I didn't trust anyone. It comes from my own issues. But, you know, you don't trust your team. You don't trust they can do it as good as you. They don't trust that they know how to do it. You don't trust that they care. Like, and in reality, it was my own issue. Like, it was my own lack of trust in people that caused the trust issues. And then once you really empower your team. It was funny because as we were building Leia and One Layer Deep, the AI, it was funny. I was posting that the night before it was going to launch, I wasn't in there working. I wasn't doing anything. I was vacuuming the building.
Yeah.
I was vacuuming for days. Well, because I was stressed out. And so my way of coping with the stress was to do manual labor. Like that repetitive vacuuming. And there's studies that say like that repetitive motion of sweeping or power washing, your brain goes on autopilot. So it helps you clear your mind. And so I just went to vacuuming and I didn't even like pay attention to nobody. I didn't even look at my phone. Like I was just vacuuming. I cleaned up the outside of the building. So I was like blowing and sweeping and raking. And then I did the inside of the building the next day. That was one whole day. And then the next day I did the vacuuming of the inside. I think I vacuumed like a 14,000 square foot building by myself in one day. And I did not stop all day because I needed that like reset. I needed that like clarity. But I had posted that night that like, we're getting ready to launch this. And what do you think I'm doing? I'm vacuuming. And it was funny because people were like, it must be great to be able to trust your team that much. But I think you guys can all trust your team. I think we all have really great teams. I don't think anyone's inherently bad or evil. I think we can trust our teams. What I learned over time, because I have the same team, guys, that I've had for a long time in Organize It and in WootRecruit and in our other softwares. I've had the same team that I've had for a long time. But what changed was me, not them. Me leaning into them more. Me telling them, hey, like, I don't know how to do this. I need you to figure it out. Like, hey, I believe in you. Hey, I trust you, which is he saw Chris, and I even do it in Chris now, like the growth I've seen in our team over the last 6 months to a year has been phenomenal. And it's the same team.
Yeah.
I was just not micromanaging them or manipulating them, even though we don't do it on purpose. I empowered them, enabled them versus tried to control them. The growth has been amazing. Like I have just been blown away by what they can do and they're passionate. Now you see people working all the time. Like we had to tell one of them, stop working. Stop. It's Saturday. Stop. Like even my organizing team, they're just like, it's the weekend. And I put something in the chat and they're like, okay. I'm like, it's the weekend. You're not supposed to answer me. And then even like, you know, I'll message Rico who heads our VS thing. And he's like, hey, it's Saturday. I'm just posting it in here so I don't forget, guys. Oh, okay, but we just want to, like, and you see the passion that not just you have, they start to develop because when they own it, to me, they love it.
Yeah, that was my favorite phrase coming into the end of last year was own the outcome.
Yes.
No matter what we did or no matter who it was, is one, is that level of trust, and two, was asking them to own the outcome.
Yeah, now you can't work here. You can't work for us or any of our products or any of our services or anything. You actually can't even be in our life anymore.
Yeah.
If you can't own the outcome. Yeah. And that's now what we teach our kids, which is, and here's my message to everybody here. You guys all have kids, whether they're grown or the business lessons that you learn. Jen Rogers is a great example. I love that I saw her take her son and her husband to, I think it was Life Search, and which is a business, it's a faith-based business event. And I love seeing it become a family event.
Yeah.
Because everything we learn in business, everything is so applicable to our life. And then everything we learn in our life is so applicable to business. I think our issue is where we try to separate the two.
Yeah.
There is no separation. There is no balance.
But Libby, they're not involved in the business.
Yes, they are. They are because they're going to hear you bitch about your business and your employees, and they're going to hear you complain, and they have to share you with that business, and they have to you have to share your time with your kids and your business, with your husband and your business, with your wife and your business. They are so involved with your business, even if they don't work in it. They are. That's a lie. They are involved. And somebody was messaging me the other day and they were like, hey, we're going to do some annual planning. That's why I shared that annual plan. How do you annual plan? And I didn't share this in my post, but I said, I suggest that you plan with your husband and your family first.
Yeah.
So what family trips do you want to do? Family time. What's important? The holiday schedule. What are you doing? Then you put in the business stuff. Like how much can I give the business now? Mm-hmm. How much capacity do we have to, you know, because if I'm $1 million business and I want to be $2 million business, to double at $1 million is going to take a great amount of sacrifice.
Yeah.
But if you didn't do your family planning session first, you don't know how much you're willing to sacrifice. To double over $1 million is a huge sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice your family over that? family time. And if you didn't do your planning beforehand, you're not going to know that answer. And then we wonder why our husbands resent us or resent our businesses, or our wives hate our businesses, or our kids don't understand, Mom, why are you working all the time?
Yeah. And this is something very important that I learned through the book launch and hitting Amazon bestseller. In doing the sprints, these 2 weeks of compressed high focus times to hit a goal, if we hadn't had sat down and talked with each of the kids individually and talking to them and saying, this is what's important to us, this is what we're trying to achieve, and this is how you fit in.
Yeah. And for our 17-year-old Austin to watch his mom do that, he mm-hmm. was blown away. He was like, Mom, I can't believe you're a best-selling author. He's like, you can't even spell.
Yeah. But there was a place for everybody, and it wasn't in, you know, doing copy for the book or promoting whatever on social media. No, the way that they had contributed to this idea, this sprint, this project, this goal was in the little things, in terms of all I need from you, in the way that you would be able to help us out the most is just be there if you see me stressed out, to go ahead and just offer me a water.
Yeah, like Austin cooked dinner during that sprint. He helped us take care of his sister, right? Mm-hmm. He helped with Yaya do some things. So we got, and then Yaya helped us. So she would bring us like water. She'd bring us a even though it wasn't carnivore friendly, we'd pretend to eat it.
Yeah.
But then they understand and they want to be a part of it versus resent it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it made the experience great. And I think knowing also that there was a specific target, a specific time frame, a specific end date, also made it a lot more achievable.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If you have a goal in your business, let's just say you want to be a $2 million business, and you don't have like a specific end goal or time frame, you're asking your family and your children and your husband or your wife or your partner to sign up for something with no end date, right? And that can be hard for people to sign up for something, but there's no end in sight. And so that can be like a huge ask of someone who doesn't understand or doesn't have the same passion. Chris and I work in 2-week sprints. So this comes from software, but we've incorporated it into all of our life, like the book launch, we've incorporated it into our cleaning business. And so we work in 2-week sprints now instead of, you know, I used to be a huge EOS fan and it was 90 days. I'm like, for the love of God, 90 days is a long time. We've actually broken it down and we now operate in 2-week sprints. It comes from Agile. Man, can you run so fast and get so much done? We just finished a 2-week sprint with our entire software teams and we met every day for 2 weeks, 15 minutes. And you're just like, bam, bam,
bam. It's compressed.
It is compressed. And it's just like amazing to see what can happen in 2 weeks.
And so we've learned a lot through this. And I think that we've really nailed down what's worked, what hasn't, through learning about these sprints and how to make this happen with a very intense, very condensed, compressed project that's now going to make its way into the operating system.
Yeah, I was going to add the 2-week sprint framework because we use it into the One Layer Deep OS system. So for many of you guys, I'm rebuilding the entire thing. I'm rebuilding it for a particular reason, but it was actually turning out better than I'm rebuilding it. You know, sometimes you think the life is serving you lemons and then that whole, we'll just make lemonade. It's kind of what I'm going through right now. And so I'm rebuilding it. I'm like, okay, fine. And then I'm rebuilding it. I'm like, oh my God,
had a
breakthrough. Tiffany, it's even better. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is what service businesses need. And it's amazing. It is. And so it's just, I'm like, this is actually even more organized, because the first way I had it, I wasn't happy with how I was delivering the operating system. And I understood it, but that doesn't mean everyone else understood it. So anyways, we're rebuilding it. And in that rebuild, yeah, we're going to add the 2-week sprints. I want to add our ACT framework.
Yeah. So it was in the book, you probably read the ACT framework, which is something that we've worked through with how to, number one is for customer support, customer success. Also, it's internal in how you approach your team. But, you know, ACT stands for acknowledge, call to action, time frame. So acknowledge is usually like state what it is or state the problem. Like, I completely understand what you're going through with blah, 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 blah. Call to action, what I'm going to do is, and then time frame specific, by 2 p.m. today, you're going to hear from me regardless if it's fixed or not. Thing is,
We've noticed a missing piece.
Yes, there's a missing piece. And so, by the way, internally, the way that this works is more of, instead of acknowledge, it's more of a an affirmation of like what it is. Like what I'm trying to do is what I need you to do is, and then by 2 p.m. today. But what we've missed is there's another one, which is the S, act, which is schedule it. It's actually time blocking. And this goes in with the micro moments. Time blocking the actual event as a guarantee. I'm going to go ahead and schedule it on your calendar. I'm going to add me as an invitee. It's not an official meeting, but it's there so that it will help to remind me. It'll help to remind you. And we're going to have that accountability piece blocked in.
And then you can ask, Susie, how's that so-and-so going? Just checking in. Because it's on your calendar and you see it, right? I do that all the time. Like if you used to coach with me back when I used to coach, I would always ask you guys like, hey, how's your homework? Hey, how's this going? Well, I would time block it on my calendar. I didn't necessarily invite people to it, but it was how I remembered to kind of check in. And so the S in act, and now it's X. We found that time, the schedule it, not time blocking, like it's just scheduling it is a super, super important piece, especially if you're just having these random meetings, right? You're having your weekly meetings, you're having your quarterly meetings, and you're talking about things, and then you wonder why nothing gets done or follow through is missing. Schedule it.
So the problem is that what it solves with that S, with scheduling it, is that it turns an idea into action. And most of our conversations start with this great idea.
Who's the visionary in the group? Who's the visionaries? And you have all these ideas. And nothing gets done. You're like,
you have this amazing meeting with your team. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
And you're like,
awesome. All right, let's end the call. Click, nothing gets done.
But in their defense, they just think it's an idea.
Right.
And I thought they were going to do it.
Yeah.
That's where, this is some of the biggest learning moments. I'm like, what? Like, are we supposed to do that? And then they're like, oh, we just thought it was an idea. And so they schedule it. Add me to the schedule just as a guest. It's not blocking my calendar. Then I know it's real. I know there's action. Like he said, it takes an idea into action. Yes, everybody's laughing. The V, yeah, because you have all these ideas and you're just like, well, shit, nobody did anything. And I'm like, that was a great idea. What was it? I don't even remember it. Well, it can't have been that great. But then like you wonder, like, why is nothing getting done? A great example. We're gonna use Marilyn. Marilyn used to be my assistant. And now she works in the marketing department. But Chris shared something with Marilyn the other day. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those like pop-outs that pop out on your website. I used to have them on Organize It all the time. It's where I would put our promos. Like if we had a special or a sale, it'd be like a pop slider. And I told them, I said, oh, I want one of those. So that like if Woot Recruit has a sale, anyone who's on the website can see Woot Recruit's sale. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I want to bring that back to Organize It too. Because for some reason, we stopped using it. And so it was my idea. Chris made it, and then he gave it to Marilyn as a, look what I made, here's how it works. And Marilyn's like, that's cool.
There's some exclamation marks in that response too. It was like,
great.
And I took that as, great, she's gonna use it.
But no, because Chris didn't tell her to use it. He was just showing her what he did, and she thought that was cool. But like, there was no, and then so I met with Marilyn, and I was like, hey, by the way, Chris made this, and she's like, yeah, I just thought he was just showing me what he made.
Yeah. So there was no intention that's backing it.
No.
And so without that,
schedule it.
Yeah.
Hey, I need you to do this by this date.
And I know on Google Calendars, all you can do is you drag and drop that 15-minute blocker. You can even set the event as free or not busy.
Yeah. But it's funny because Marilyn's like, I just thought he was showing it to me. I said, that's what it sounded like. So, and it goes both ways. Like us as owners, are we being direct? Like not direct, we're mm-hmm. direct. Are we being like decisive, definitive, kind of like SMART goals, right? Measurable, time-based. Most of the time we're not giving them a timeline or a time base to like do something on. And so I just thought that was the funniest example because it literally just happened to us on Friday. I met with Marilyn. I was like, hey, by the way, that pop slide thing that I had Chris make, here's why he shared it with you. Because I knew when he shared it with her.
What was going to happen.
And it's like it when it falls through, it just falls off. And it's because there's that time sensitive schedule it on the back end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guys, I think we should wrap up. It was really great coming back. It's been a long time. I think like Chris said, it's since August. It's been a long time since we've done this. And we stopped doing it because again, we didn't want it to feel forced. I wasn't in the right headspace to do them. And we're getting back into that. And so we're super excited. And so if you're feeling like burnt out, if you're feeling life is overwhelming, or, you know, like I told my mom and sister the other day, it just feels like life isn't fair sometimes. Like with what you see happening and going on, and even in your business or your life or in social media, can feel extremely heavy, right? That pressure in your chest. Just know that you're not alone, right? You're not alone. Take a walk, share your walk. Like I said, I'm walking every morning. Drop your picture in there. Or like I said, for my people up north, I'm so sorry, it's cold.
And if you have small kids, even just pacing back and forth in front of your house.
Okay, before we leave, that's a great example. So many people told us that they could not do date mornings. So the walk and the date morning are like two different things, but you can merge them together. They can be the same thing. So many people said, well, Libby, I have kids, I can't leave. When we first started this, Yaya was young, and we have kids too, right? We would just walk in front of our house outside, like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
You could see the door at any point.
Or at any time, and you have baby monitors, right? You can still make it happen, even if it's a short distance that you're just looping around or going back and forth, or a short distance of time, 5 or 15 minutes. Mm. It doesn't have to be 5 miles. It doesn't have to be 3 hours. Start small. Start with the micro moves, the micro moments.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling like that overwhelm, or like I said, that pressure, just know that you're not alone.
Yeah. And like I tell Yaya, at least once a day, is that there's an elegant solution to every problem.
There is an elegant solution to every single problem. You just got to figure out what that solution is. It's probably easier than you think it is.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.